All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, our shir this morning is dedicated by Seid and Sima Haken, who are dedicating the shir for the entire month of Elul in honor of the Yomim Noraim and the source of Aksil v'Chasimah Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. By the Elbaum family, in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Avram Menachem Ben Yitzchak Yehuda, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an Aliyah. And by Adam and Yehudit Ben Zev, are dedicating also the entire month of Talmud Torah and the Zechus of Aksiva V'Chasimah Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. So let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Gimel. We have a lot of beautiful Gemara to do today, but we're picking up actually on Ayin Beis Amud Beis 72b, and we are picking up with Amravuno, we have a lot to do. It's a 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So Amrav Yehuda. Katan Arodev, if a katan is running after someone to chas v'sholem kill them, nitan atzilo b'nafsho. Ultimately, again, you can kill the katan. In other words, I might have thought that since a katan ultimately is a lav bar das, doesn't usually have requisite intent or requisite das, so that maybe you can't kill him as a din rodev. Kamash mo, no, you can kill him as a rodev. Kasavar, this is Rav Huna Shita, because Rav Huna holds that a rodev does not require hasra, doesn't require proper formal warning. As opposed to other cases where before you punish someone, they require hasra, a rodev does not require that, whether the rodev is a gadol or a katan. This is talking about a pregnant woman. So if a pregnant woman, if the pregnancy is causing her sakonas nefashos, so while the child is in utero, you can go ahead and take the life of the fetus in order to go ahead and save the mother. However, once the baby is birthed, in other words, and birthed is defined by once the head comes out, then ultimately, again, you cannot take the baby's life in order to save the mother's life. Lefi she'in dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh, because you can't take one life in order to save another life. So the Gemara says, va'amai, but why not? Rodefi, rodefu, the baby's a rodef. Right? The baby's actively putting the mother in sakana, to which the Gemara says, no, the baby's not the rodef. Shiny hasam, timishemaya karad filo. It's not fair to call the baby a rodef, because in order to be titled a rodef, there has to be some level of intent, right? Again, this, literally the Gemara says, she's, you know, b'shamayim rodef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rodef, you know, kiviyachol, meaning this is happening from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the baby has no intent to put the mother in sakana. Maybe we say, let's say that the following supports Rav Huna. Rodef shahayi rodef achar chaver lahargo. We'll say if there was someone running after his friend to kill him. Okay, enough his friend, but okay, someone running after someone else to kill him. Amar lo, we say to the rodef, Re'ei, she Yisraelu, know that the guy you're running after is a Jew. Uben brisu, v'atora amra shotech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafach. So we give him asra, or essentially we tell him, listen, you recognize the guy you're running after is Yisrael, and if you kill him, ultimately again, there's a death penalty. Amra Torah. So the Torah says, Hatzel damo shel zeh v'damo shel zeh. So this seems to be a whole speech that we give to the rodef, essentially telling him, you know that what you're about to do is a chiyuv nisa, and if you do it, we reserve the right to kill you. So we'll say, so again, this would appear. Now, here's what's interesting about this. What's interesting about this is, if you notice, as much as we are obligated to say this to the rodef is not obligated to acknowledge it. Under normal circumstances, hasra, formal hasra, is comprised of two parts. Number one, a warning, and number two, an acknowledgement of the warning from the offending party. If you notice over here, as much as we say this to the rodef, there is no obligation that the rodef verbally acknowledge this particular statement, which would seem to indicate that what? That there is no din, no formal din of hasra in this case, which would seem to support the idea of Rav Huna that a rodef doesn't need hasra. To which the Gemara says, no, hahi Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehudi. This actually reflects the view of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The sign of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaver in Tzarech Hasra, Lefish lo nitna Hasra al lahavchin ben sho yeg memezid. So we'll say this is Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef holds that a Chaver Talmud Chacham does not require Hasra. Why not? Because Rabbi Yosef, the whole point of Hasra is to distinguish between those who are sinning intentionally and unintentionally. I will say, as you're going to see over here, in this particular case, once we go ahead and we make this statement, then what? Then it is clear that Lamaisa, he is a full understanding of the act he is about to commit. Tashma, Rodev Shei, Rodev Achar Chaver Lahargo. If a Rodev was running after someone to kill him, so the Gemara says, Amrlo, Re'eshi Yisrahu, Uben Brisu, Vatora Amra Shovech Tama Adam Ba Adam Dama Yishapach, Im Amar Yodea Ani Shuhu Kain, Pater, Amnas Kain Ani Ose Chayiv. So we'll say, so now, according to this price, what happens? The Rodev must verbally acknowledge the Hasra. So if we say to the Rodev, you know you're running after a Jew, a Ben Bris, and if you kill him, we reserve the right to kill you. Or I should say, we reserve the right to kill you, to prevent you from killing him, and we reserve the right to kill you in the event that you do kill him. And the Rodev says, I got it. So if he says, okay, I didn't know this, and he backs off, he's potter. But if he says, I know it, and I'm still going to kill him anyway, he's chayiv. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a Rodev does need Hasra. Lotzicha, the kaibache iburi dinara. Ibri dinara. We'll say, no, this case is where, let's say again, the witnesses, the people who are witnessing this event, are on one side of the river. And ultimately, again, the Rodev and the victim, or the potential victim, are on the other side of the river. So here I will say, I have no ability to stop the Rodev from pursuing this act. Lomatzi atzule. I have no way of saving the potential victim. So my ikar deboy. So what's my only recourse against the Rodev? The isuye lebeidina. Ultimately, again, the only recourse I have, therefore, then, is to take him ultimately to Beis Din. That if the Rodev Chas v'Shalom kills the victim, I have the ability to go ahead and take him to Beis Din. But when it comes to Beis Din beidina, by Hasra. See, Rabbi say what we're seeing over here is something very interesting. Well, let me actually finish this. Ibai, seeing the other possibilities, Arm the Charafun, Rafun would say to you, Ana de Amri Kitana de Machteres, Dar Machteres, Ozo Yasra Aso. The other will say possibilities, Rafuna says, I hold like the Tana that we saw yesterday, who holds Machteroso Zohi Hasra Aso. That by definition, when we see someone actively being a Rodev against someone else, that in and of themselves, anyone who engages in this behavior understands that it carries with it the penalty of death. If they still choose to go forward with that, that effectively is their hasra. So we'll say what comes out from here is something very interesting. What comes out from here, first of all, again, we pass in like Rafuna, that a Rodev does not require hasra. That's number one. That's how we pass in. A Rodev does not need hasra. Interestingly enough, the Bryce that seems to indicate that you do have to give hasra is in this very unique case where I see the event unfolding, but have the inability to stop it. What's the example of that? The example of that is, I'm on one side of the river, and the Rodev and the victim are on the other side of the river. I can't stop this. Under those circumstances, the only recourse I will have will be what? To take the Rodev to Beis Din. So under that case, the Gemara posits that, again, it's in my best interest, so to speak, to give him an Asra, because this is ultimately, again, I can go ahead and bring him to Beis Din. Now, Bepashtos, I can bring him to Beis Din, assuming there are two witnesses, even without Hasra. And Beis Din could execute him for being a Rodev even without Hasra. It's just the Gemara saying that the cases where we see Hasra by a Rodev are dafka in those cases where there is no ability to stop the act in any other way. So the Hasra gives me an additional ability to bring him to Beis Din for Din. Fine. Type of Ayin Gimel, the Mishnah. The Elohim Shemat Silin Osam Hashem. So it's a very interesting case. So the following is a list of things where if we see a person about to do it, we can kill him in order to stop him from doing it. Okay? So we'll say, so the paradigmatic case of this is, I see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him, so I can kill Reuven in order to stop him from running after Shimon. Or I see Reuven running after Shimon, not to kill him, but to violate him. So I can also kill Reuven to prevent him from engaging in Mishkav Zachar. Or I see Reuven running after a betrothed girl, and he's going to violate her. I could kill him in order to go ahead and prevent Nebuchadnezzar. Now here's what's interesting. The issue over here at play is lav dafka just rape. The issue over here is one of arayas, of one of adultery. If you notice again, the Mishnah doesn't discuss if I see a man about to violate a single girl. So if you notice over here, the Mishnah doesn't include that case. Sounds like, again, it's lo nita natzil nashu. So I want to just qualify. This is very important. This is, you see, today when we understand this type of violence, of a man against woman, we understand that inherent in it is sakhanas nefashos. There is a sakhanas nefashos element. So because of that, again, that would be no different if he was running after to kill her. The Mishnah's understanding that if in the technical level you were to have a case where you were to understand the woman's life is not in danger, there's no danger to life, so then in that case, technically, so you would not be able to exit, to kill the guy to prevent him from violating the woman. But the Mishnah already bring down, because inherent in these types of cases of sexual violence, that by definition there's a sakhanas nefashos, almost every single one of those cases is going to be nitan latzil l'nafsho. The Gemara is bringing down arayas cases. So technically speaking, if a man's violating a single woman, there's not an arayas. There's an isser, but it's not an arayos case. As opposed to if he's violating mishkav zachar, homosexuality. He's violating aram urasa. These are arayas cases. I could kill him to prevent him from engaging in arayas. We'll say if somebody's running after an animal to go ahead and violate the animal, or one is going ahead and going about to machal Shabbos, or someone is about to worship Avodah Zarah, I can't kill people to prevent them from doing these things. So I could kill a person if I see he's about to kill someone else. I could kill a person if I could see that he's about to engage in Mishkav Zachar. I could kill someone if I see that he's about to violate a Nara Meurasa. But I can't kill him if he's about to be Machal Shabbos. I can't kill him if he's about to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Or I can't kill him if he's about to engage in bestiality. So Bosa, you begin to see a model here. Meaning, it's not just that I could kill someone if they're about to violate one of the cardinal sins. It's I could kill someone if they're about to violate one of the major averos, and there's a negative impact upon another. But if they're about to violate the major avera, but there is no negative impact upon the other, I don't have the right to kill them. Says the Gemara, how do I know that if someone's running after someone else, that I have the right to kill the pursuer? So the Gemara says, Tamul Omar, lo samar adam reyecha. Pasuk says, you shall not stand over your friend's blood, which the Gemara is using to indicate to us that, lemaise again, if I see someone about to kill someone else, I could kill them before they take life. The Gemara says, we don't use that pasuk for that drasha. We need that for the following brisa. How do I know that if I see my friend drowning in the river, or I see a wild animal dragging him away, or robbers are coming to go ahead and come upon him, how do I know that I am chayiv to save him? Now this is a much more complicated halachic discussion, right? Which is, again, the Gemara is essentially saying, how do I know that if I see my friend in danger, I am obligated to step in? Tamud lomar, lo samot al dam re'echo. Pasuk says, you cannot stand idly by, you can't stand on your friend's blood. Which indicates to me that what? That lemaise again, if I see my friend in danger, I have to step in. Now, both say, this is a complicated halachic discussion, because this is true. If I see my friend in danger, I'm obligated to step in. The shaila is what? How much danger am I obligated to put myself in order to save my friend? So Reuven's drowning. I'm not a good swimmer. Am I obligated to jump in? Wild animals are dragging him away. I don't know. I'm not the bravest of guys. Am I obligated to go ahead and put myself in harm's way of the lion? So I'm just pointing out to you this. This is very apropos, because last night was the Bikur Cholim renewal event about kidney donation. So when kidney donation first came up, today Baruch Hashem the risks are much less. But it was interesting that when these things first came up, there was a lot of halachic discussions about what level of obligation of sakana am I permitted, am I allowed to assume in order to be able to benefit another. So again, we're not getting into this now. Actually, I did this on Shavuos night about 3-4 years ago. We spoke about this topic. Famous sitzah. Okay. Fine. Ve'ela. So the Gemara says right there. Ve'ela nitan la'atzila b'nafsho midal. So we'll say we use the pasuk of lo samar adam re'echa to talk about what? That if I see my friend in danger, I have to step in. Where do I learn out the idea that I could kill someone in order to prevent them from killing another? Asi b'kavachomer na'ara ha'me'urasa. So we'll say we bring it from a kavachomer from na'ara ha'me'urasa. What's the Kavach Omer? So the Gemara says, Na'ara Meurasa Shlo Ba El Lepogma. When it comes to Na'ara Meurasa, we'll say where we assume that the assailant, his intention is not to kill the girl, rather his intention is to violate her, and the impact of that violation is lepogma. It blemishes her. And Rabbi said, what does it mean it blemishes her? So on a very just technical, physical level, it ruptures the hymen, which means that she's no longer a basula. Remember, this is Nara Murasa. This is a girl who is betrothed. She's not married yet. So there is a physical damage to her as a result of this act. Yet, Amra Torah Nitan Latzila Benafsho. Yet the Torah says that I could go ahead and I could kill this guy in order to prevent him from violating this Nara Murasa. Rodif Achar Chavero Alahar Goachas Kam Vakama. So I'll say, if I could kill someone to prevent him from violating Nara Murasa, then what? I certainly could kill someone to prevent him from killing another person. To which the Gemara said, V'chi Own Shin Min Adin. 1 second. But we're both saying, we don't kill people based on Kal V'chomer. This is a very important Yisod. It's a good thing to remember. We don't kill based on Kal V'chomer. So I hear it. It's a compelling argument. But Lamais, what we call Ein Maskir Min Adin. The Gemara says, Debei Rebbe, Tana Hekeshu. So when they're both saying, Yeshiva Rebbe, they said it's a Hekesh. What's the Hekesh? Kikai Shar Yakum Bishara Eovaratzcho Nefesh. So we'll say the Pasuk says, when a man will rise up another man, against another man, Viratzcho Nefesh, and he will go ahead and murder him. So the Gemara says, V'chim Alam Alam Merotzeach. So we'll say, ultimately again, what are we learning out from this particular Pasuk? Me'ata Harei Zeba Lelameid V'nimsa Lamad. So we'll say, it turns out that ultimately, again, this came to teach, but it turns out that we learned something from. What does that mean? Makish Rotzeach Nara Murasa. We'll say, the Torah is coming to make a hekish between Rotzeach, the murderer, and Nara Murasa. Ma Nara Murasa Nitan Latzila B'Nafsho. We'll say, just like Nara Murasa, you can kill the assailant to save the girl, right, to prevent her from being abused. Af Rotzeach Nitan Latzila B'Nafsho. So we'll say, Rotzeach, one is permitted to go ahead and kill him in order to save the potential victim. So we'll say this is a hekish instead of a kal v'chomer, which we like a little bit better. So the Gemara says, I have nara meurasa gufa minalan. Okay, but still, where do you know that nara meurasa, that you are permitted to go ahead and kill the assailant in order to save the girl? The Pasuk by the Nara Murasa says that there was no one to save her. She was violated because there was no one to save her. What do we see from here? Hayesh Moshia Allah. Bechol Davar Shiach Allah Hoshia. Rabbosa, what do you see from here? The fact that the Torah says that this happened to the girl because there was no one to save her indicates to us what? That if there was someone there to save her, they should save her. And how should they save her? By any means at their disposal. Therefore, you see from here that you could save an Aram Murasa even by killing the assailant. So Gemara says, Gufa, Minayin l'ras chaver shutaveh banar ochaya gorarto listin boi nalov shuchayev lo tzilo, la tzilo. So says, go back to the verse we said before, how do I know that if I see my friend drowning, or I see a wild animal dragging him away, or listim, or robbers are coming upon him, how do I know that I am obligated to save him? I'm obligated, mamish, to save him. Tamud lomar, lo samod al dam re'echa. So they both say the pasuk says ultimately again that you are not permitted to stand on your friend's blood. We'll say, remind me, if we have 2 minutes at the end of this year, I'll tell you a tzitz Eliezer. Just remind me tzitz Eliezer about this gemara, which is amazing. V'hamehach nafka. So ultimately again, I'll say, do we learn this out from here? In other words, do we learn out this idea that you can't go ahead and watch your friend in mortal danger and not step in? Do we learn that from La Samar al Damreacha? Vahamehacha Nafka. So what's Vahamehacha Nafka? Do we learn it out from here? Mehazam Nafka. We learn it out from elsewhere. Avedas Gufo Minayin. They both say, how do I know that if my friend is about to lose his body? So Avedas Gufo means if my friend is in mortal danger, how do I know that I'm obligated to step in? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Avedas Gufo, Kigo Nit, it's almost right across in Rashi, Kigo Nitpa Bahar Minay Shata Mitzada Ala Shavaso. It was said the same way that I'm obligated to return my friend's lost object. How do I know that if he's about to lose his life, I'm obligated to step in and return that to him? Tamud Lomar, Vahashevoso Lo. Because it was said the Pasuk says, you shall return it to him. Vahashevoso Lo. Rashi says, so we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says the following. This is by Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects. So the Pasuk says, Lo karov achicha elecha, velo yudato, if your friend is not near you, or you don't know who the owner of the object is, va'asafto el toch beisecha, you'll take the object into your home, v'haya imcha adirosh achicha oso, and it'll be with you until your brother seeks it out, v'hashev osolo, and then you'll return it to him. So we'll say that last phrase, v'hashev osolo, is totally extra. You don't need it. So the Gemara learns out from here, what does Hashem Osolo teach me? If the first part of the pasuk is teaching me about my friend's object, Hashem Osolo teaches me about my friend's life. That if my friend's life is in danger, and I have the ability to step in and help, I must do so. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? You don't learn this out from those Samar al Dam Reacha. Rather, you learn out from Vashev Osolo. Imi Hasam, if you learn out from there, Hava Min Hanamili Bin Afshe. So let's say, if you were to learn out from Vashev Osolo, I would have said like this. If I have the ability to save my friend, then I have the obligation to step in. Hava Mitrachu Megar Agure. But we'll say, what happens if I can't save my friend? But you know what? So Reuven's drowning. I don't know how to swim. I can't save him. But it happens to be that Shimon, who's an experienced lifeguard, is standing right next to me. I say, Shimon, can you save Reuven? And Shimon says, $20. Right? I say, how do I know that I'm obligated to pay Shimon in order to go? So we'll say, let me say it differently. So just in the pasuk of Hashem Osolo, I would have thought that I have an obligation to save Reuven when possible, but I don't have an obligation to hire people, right, to pay money to save Reuven. Kamash Malono, the pasuk teaches me, Lo Samod Adam Reacho, that even if I can't save him, but I have the ability to go ahead and hire someone who can save him, that I have the obligation to do so. Tan Rabbanan, Echad Harodif, Echad Chavir Olahar, Gov Echad HaZachar, V'achar HaZachar, V'achar Nara Murasa, V'achar Chayve Misos Bezin, V'achar Chayve Krisos, Matzilin Oso B'Nafsho. Bosa, listen to this B'raisa. So if I see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him, or running after Shimon to violate him, or running after Nara Murasa to violate her, or, listen to these cases, or I go ahead and I see Reuven running after someone who he's going to violate, and that relationship is punishable either by kares or by a misas bezdin, matzilino sobenafsho. In all of these cases, I have the right to kill Reuven to prevent him from violating these isurim. Amar lekohen gadol, grusha vechalutza lekohen head, yod. We'll say, if I see a Kohen about to marry a Grusha, I can't kill the Kohen. Or I see a Kohen about to marry a Chalutza, right? Then ultimately, again, I can't kill the Kohen. Even though, again, he's about to violate an Isser, I can't kill him in order to prevent him from violating this Isser. Ne'evda ba'avera. We'll say, so what happens again if, let's say, the people in question over here, we'll define the scope of this case. But let's say, again, the woman with whom the individual, Reuven, is about to commit the Navera, has already engaged in a previous act of relations with this same man, then what? Ein matzilin oso b'nafsho. We can't kill him in order to prevent him from violating her again. Again, we'll define the scope of that in just a little bit. Yesh la moshia, we'll say, ein matzilin oso b'nafsho. Now, this is actually interesting. So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, actually, I'm sorry, not yet. Yesh la Moshiach, imatzilin oso b'nafsho, which bepashtos means, if there's another way to neutralize the threat without killing the guy, you can't kill him. As we'll say, as much as you have a license to kill in some of these cases, if there's another way to take care of the issue, to prevent it from harming another without killing him, then that's highly preferable. Rabbi Huda says, Af ha'omeres hanichalo shalo yahargena. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Huda says, what happens if a woman is about to be violated by a man, and she sees that I'm there, ready to kill the guy, to prevent him from violating her. And she says, no, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Just let him perform the act and be done. So we'll say again, we'll discuss exactly what this means. Look at Rashi for just a moment. How meres lematzilin harot v'nacharav hanichalo va'al tirdefu acharav shelo yehargena kodim shetasigu. What she's concerned about is that maybe he's going to kill her before we have a chance to kill him. So she cries out, "Leave him alone! Leave him alone! Just let him do it. Just let him perform the act and be done, because I don't want to risk my own life." Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda says we listen to her. So Menhani Mili. So we'll say, where do we learn? Again, we're going to define all of these cases in greater depth. Menhani Mili, where do we know this from? So Amakra, Velanahara lo sase davar. So the pasuk says again, Abba saying, if the girl is violated, if the Nahara Amuras is violated, so we'll say, so obviously she has no punishment. We don't do anything to her. Ein la Nahara chit maves. There is no death penalty for the Nahara Amurasa who is violated by the man. So we'll say, the Gemara understands this pasuk is worded in a very strange way. Na'ar, so we'll say the Gemara sees alluded to in this pasuk all the different isurim. So na'ar ze zocher. So we'll say na'ar refers to if a man is about to violate another man. Na'ara zunara murasa. This ultimately again of say first na'ara murasa. Chet, who does chet refer to? Elu chai bekrisos. This refers to relationships punishable like karis. Maves. Elu chai bemisos based in. Mavis also refers to those relationships punishable by misas based in kol hani lamali. So we'll say the pasuk is telling me in any of these cases, if I see a man about to violate any of these isurim, I can what? I can kill him to prevent him ultimately again from violating the isurim. So the Gemara says kol hani lamali. Why do I need all of these examples? So I'll tell you why the Gemara says tzvichi. Because of Rachman and Nar, I would have thought about, say, if Torah would have just told me that if I see a man about to violate another man, I could kill him before he engages in the act of homosexuality. Mishum delav orche. Because I will say, this is unnatural. Aval nara de orche emalo. When a man violates someone, I will say, as much as the act is prohibited, but again, the act is one of a normative act. It's a normative act of relations. Maybe I don't have the right to kill the individual before he violates the girl. Because of Rachmana Nara Mishum de Kapagimlo, I will say, footage just had a case, Nara Murasa, I could kill him. Why? Because he literally physically damages her. Aval Na'ar Delo Kapagimle Emalo. But if he's going to violate another man, I will say, there's no physical damage, so to speak. So maybe I can't kill him. Because of Rachmana Hani. And if the Torah would have just said these cases, I will say, Amud Beis. Mishum Tahai Lav Orchehu. Because we'll say the case of Nar, the case of Mishkav Zachar, is not normal. It's unnatural. Vaha Kapagim. And the case of Nara, ultimately again, he's damaging her. Aval Shara, so we'll say in other cases of Arayos, the Orchehu, their normative act of relations, so to speak, below Nafish Pigamayu, and they will both say there's not really damage in these cases. Imalo, I would have thought that perhaps I can't kill the pursuer before he goes ahead and he does these things. Therefore, again, Kasev Rachman Achit. Therefore, I will say the pasuk comes along and writes Chit in order to teach him about these cases. Kasev Rachman Achit, Hava Amina Afilu Chai Lavin. And if Torah would have just said Chit, I would have thought that if I see a man about to engage in an act of relations punishable by a lav, we'll say that would be a case of what? Kohen Gadol marrying a Grusha. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, a Kohen married Grusha. Right? So I would have thought maybe again I could kill the Kohen before he does that. Because of Rachmana Maves. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, no, it has to be something punishable by death. Because of Rachmana Maves, Hava Amina Chayve Misos based in Chayve Krisos Lo. We'll say, if Torah just said Maves, I would have thought that it's only relationships punishable by Misas based in. But Chayve Krisos, and we'll say, perhaps again, you can't kill the guy. Therefore, because of Rachmana Chayt. Therefore, the pasuk says Chayt. V'lichtov Rachmana Chayt Maves. Velo boy nara v'na'ar v'na'ara. So we'll say, just like the pasuk write chet and maves, which will tell you, any relationship punishable by what? Misas bezdin or karis, you can kill the guy before he does it, and then I don't need na'ar and na'ara, because we'll say, what does na'ar refer to? Na'ar refers to any homosexual relationship. Na'ara refers to na'ara ha'me'urasa, which are both said cases punishable by death, by misas bezdin or karis. So just say chet and maves, and I don't need nara nara. Enochinam, you're right. Ve'ela nara nara, chad leme ute avodas, oved avodas kochavim. So we'll say one of them is to exclude, I will say, that if I see a case, Reuven is about to worship an idol. So that I would have thought that maybe I could kill Reuven to prevent him from worshiping idols. Kamash malon, no, that I can't go ahead. This, I will say, I could prevent him from doing things which carry with them a chi of misa and negatively impact another. But if what he's doing carries with it a chi of misa, but it doesn't negatively impact another, I will say, so if I see Reuven about eat chazer on Yom Kippur chas v'shalom, so that's horrible, it's terrible, it's a chi of misa on that, but I can't kill him to prevent him from doing that. I can't kill him to prevent him from worshipping Avodah Zarah. Dechal l'mi'uti behema. V'shabbos. So we'll say another one is coming to exclude what? If I seem about to engage in an act of bestiality, usher, punishable by death, but because it doesn't impact another. I know that's not going to make the PETA people happy, right? But again, because it doesn't impact another, lemaise, again, I can't kill him. Same thing with Chil Shabbos. I see Matim Mechal of Shabbos, I both say. Isser Doraisa, potential Chiv Misa, I can't kill him. According to Rashi, Rishon Yochai says that if I see a Jew about to worship Avodah Zarah, I can kill him to prevent him from doing so. So we'll say, what do I need the pasuk of Nar for? So what does Nar come to teach you? Because remember, according to what we just said, Nar comes to exclude, I can kill someone who is about to violate another man. I can't kill someone who is about to worship Avodah Zarah. According to Rav Shammai Yochai, who says, I can kill someone who is about to worship Avodah Zarah. So what do I do with the word Nar? One comes to exclude an act of bestiality, that if I see Reuven about to engage in bestiality, I cannot go ahead and kill him to prevent him from doing so. And the other word, Nara, comes to exclude, I can't go ahead and kill someone to prevent them from being Mechalo Shabbos. Sagadai Tchamina, I would have thought the following, Tisi Shabbos, Mechilu chilu me'avodos kochavim. I will say, I might have thought that lemaisa, again, I'm going ahead and making a gzeirah shava of chilu chilu from avodos kochavim and Shabbos, to which the Gemara says, the Rabbi Eliezer, Sagadai Tchamino, Tisi Shabbos, Mechilu chilu me'avodos kochavim. I will say, I might have thought that I would have learned out Shabbos from a gzeirah shava, ultimately, again, of chilu chilu, which would have said that ultimately, again, I can go ahead and kill the individual to prevent them from going ahead and committing this act. So according to the opinion, it says that what? That I could go, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that if somebody's about to Mechal Shabbos, I can go ahead and take their life in order to prevent them from doing so. The Asya Shabbos Michilu Chilu Me'avodos Kochavim My Ikalameva. So we'll say, what is there to say? Chad Miut Me'ut Behema. So we'll say, one Miut is coming to exclude an act of bestiality, that I can't kill someone to prevent them from engaging in an act of bestiality. The Iloch, I did the Kasav Rachmana Na'ar, Kasav Rachmani Na'ar, Nami Na'aras. So we'll say, the other pain will say that since the Torah wrote Na'ar just to preserve what we'll call textual symmetry, so it wrote Na'arah as well. Fine. So Gemara goes on. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af Ha'omeres Hanichuli Shlo Yagen. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Huda quoted the following case. Rabbi Huda's case was one where what? The woman is about to be violated. We stand ready to kill the individual, the attacker, but she says, leave him alone. I don't want to get killed in this process. I'm scared that if you try to kill him, he's going to kill me, so leave him alone. So remember again, Rabbi Huda said in that case, we will honor the wishes of the woman, and we will not kill the attacker. So the Gemara says, "B'maikam efligi." So both say, the fact that Rabbi Huda says that indicates to us that what? That the Rabbanon don't hold that way. That the Rabbanon would say that if we see a man attacking a woman, even if she says, no, don't kill him, leave him alone, I'm afraid that if you try to kill him, he's going to kill me, that we don't listen to her, and we kill the guy. So we see a fundamental machlokes about what happens, and also it's a very profound case, what happens when the potential victim says, please do not kill the attacker, I'm worried that if you try to kill him, he's going to kill me. Rabbi Huda says, we listen to the woman. Rabbi Rabbanon says, we don't listen to the woman, we kill the attacker. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Amar Rava, b'makpedes al pigma umanichaso shlo yargeno. So we'll say, Rava says, what are we arguing about? We're arguing about, over here, look at Rashi, b'makpedes al pigma, said across from Gilyan Ashas. D'i b'sh'ina makpedes, lo kami rabbana l'miktoi, v'shum aveira, lo kami me'avodos kam b'shabes. So we'll say, the case over here is where it's clear to us, we'll say, that she is in incredible distress about what is about to happen to her, which is obvious. Umanichaso shelo yahargenu. But yet, she tells us not to kill him. So we'll say, meaning, this will distinguish between different types of cases, because we'll discuss about cases of a person of, well, we'll define it in the Gemara. So the idea here is we see it's clear to us that she is distressed over what is happening, but yet she's giving us instructions not to kill the attacker. So Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan say, Apigma kapid rachmana v'hamakpedes apigma. So we see over here, both said that the Torah is concerned for her honor, and therefore again, she's concerned with her honor as well. We see that, and therefore again, we have a license to kill the attacker, even though what? Even though she's telling us not to. Rabbi Huda will say, Haidukam rachmana katle mishud namasra nafshala katla. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda says differently. Rabbi Huda says, the reason why the Torah tells us that we're permitted to kill a man who we see is about to violate a woman is because what are we concerned about? That a woman may give her life sooner than be violated. So this is not just an issue, this is an issue of sakanas nefashos. So because the issue of sakanas nefashos, we say, kill the attacker. And we'll say, in this case over here, halo masr ashla katla. Here she's telling us, I'm not giving my life. I'm going to let it happen, and I'm asking you not to kill the guy. So because there's no concern that she's going to give her life in this circumstance, therefore what? Hala masra nafshala katla. Therefore, because we're not concerned she's going to give her life, therefore again, we have no license to kill the attacker. Amalei papal abaye, sabaye, papas sabaye, amara la kohen gadol, nami kapagim la. But I will say, ultimately again, in the case of an amara to a kohen gadol, ultimately, again, she is also quote unquote damaged. And as we both say, from that act of relations, although she's not physically damaged, she's damaged again in a status fashion. She becomes a chalala. Both say, in cases where there's a license to kill the attacker because he damages the woman, that type of damage both say, has to be something substantive, and really what the Gemara is saying is physical. The fact that an act of relations will damage a woman's status does not give us the license to go ahead and kill the attacker. But if her person is going to be damaged, if she's going to suffer physical damage, then that ultimately gives us the right and the ability ultimately to kill her attacker. Now, both say, this machlokes Rabban and Rabbi Huda is a very profound one about what happens in a case of where a woman is being attacked and she gives us explicit instructions, please do not touch the attacker, leave it alone, let the act occur, I'm afraid that my life is in danger. Rabbi Huda says, we listen to her, that's her instructions. Rabbanan say, we ignore her. Both say, how do we paskin? We paskin like the Rabbanan, that we ignore her. We ignore her and we kill the attacker. Now the reason for that goes back to what we said back in the Mishnah, which is what they're both saying, that it's understood inherent in these cases is sakanas nefashos. That she might think that there's no danger to her life right now, that as soon as the attacker violates her, that the threat is over. We know, again, that in any case of violence, it doesn't matter physical or sexual, there's always an element of sakanas nefashos. Therefore, the Rabbanan, essentially, we'll say the psychology of this is, the Rabbanan would assume she may not understand the true nature of this threat. She may think it's about one thing, but doesn't understand her life is, in fact, in peril. And therefore, again, the Rabbanan paskin that even if she says, leave the guy alone, we have the right, ultimately, to kill him as a rovei. All right, so we'll stop over here. Tzitz Eliezer, very, very quickly. So also, listen to this. Going back to the idea of lo samar adam reyacha, that you can't stand idly by. So we'll say this idea, so the Tzitz Eliezer discusses, he actually discusses this by kidney donation. Again, very apropos. Discusses a kidney donation, and essentially, without getting into kidney donation, he discusses that, essentially, you can put your life at risk for someone else, when what? When at the end of the day, the risk, he says, is not more than 51%. He gives that type of lashon. He says, how could soldiers put themselves at risk for one another in the battlefield? He says, speaking about the IDF, he says, which I think is true in most militaries, he says, like, the Israel Defense Forces operates with the principle of no man left behind. You can't leave anyone. We won't even leave a corpse. You don't leave anyone or anything behind. How can you do that if you're putting yourself in such active sakana? So he says something amazing. He says, the morale of an army is only preserved if everyone knows that they have each other's back. Meaning, if a soldier goes into battle and he says that the guy next to me is only going to put himself at risk for me if he's at 51% possibility of survival, an army can't operate like that. An army only can operate if everyone knows that the other is willing to give their life for that other. So he says, whereas the threshold for the Osama al-Dam Reyacha, under normal circumstances, the halacha only permits you to go ahead and put yourself in danger for someone else. If you don't put yourself in acute danger, the one exception to that ultimately, again, is in an army setting where one is obligated to actively give their life for the other, because that's the only way that the morale of the army is ultimately preserved. And I will say again, you know, so together we're all on the battlefield of life together. We're all on the battlefield of life together. Ultimately, again, not to sound too Lubavitch, but you know, we're all in the Tzvi Os Hashem together, right? At the end of the day, we're all one army. We're all one family. We're all and this Yisod Abosei, which is a lot to speak about, this idea of needing to give to one another in acute ways. The need to make one feel, need to make one another feel confident. The need to know, we'll say, you know, the greatest feeling is when you know the person next to you will do anything and everything to help you throughout life. Again, not necessarily if you're getting dragged away from a wild animal, I don't know that I'm the guy to help you out. But I would. But that's the yisod. That's what it means. You have to le'reacha kamocha. To know that the person next to you, the Jew next to you, your brother, your sister, is going to be willing to give anything and everything to be able to help you out through the ma'amakim, through the narrow streets of life. But I say that's what it means not only to be part of an army, but that's what it means ultimately to be part of an army. Okay, we'll stop over here.